turn to the book of Philippians.
I'm doing good.
Still in chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1.
What'd you say there?
Philippians chapter 1. Got a verse here in chapter 1. It's going to go with some of the stuff we're going to be reading in chapter 2. We're also going to be looking in the book of Matthew. Even if you want to, you can get your place there also. Matthew chapter 16. We'll be looking at verse 25. In the book of Philippians chapter 1. It's according to my earnest expectation, verse 20. Earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But what is this?
Slow it down.
But damn it. Hello. I'm in Sunday school class right now. I just tried to call and see if your kids will be able to come today. All right. Thank you. Bye. A little bit late. Sorry about that. But, I'll cut that thing off now. I don't know how many times I've had that happen to me.
Yeah.
I just forget about that thing. I about got a habit on Sunday mornings, and then I forget to cut it off, and I ain't careful. It ain't no telling where I'll be. Choir, even preaching one night. It's embarrassing. Sorry about that. Again, in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. And for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not or know not. I want to look at quickly at this thought about to die. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I mean, you think to live with Christ would be gain, but he said to die is gain. Now, I know that the thought there is, mostly, is that when you die, of course, you'll be with Christ in heaven. And so we think that is why to die is gain. But Jesus put it like this in Matthew 16. In verses 25. It says, for whosoever will save his life will lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, Jesus Christ said over here, to die is what? Gain. To die is gain. He that seeks to save his life will lose it. Everything that we try to hold on to in this life, we're going to lose. If I go in the way of David Leslie, and I seek to save David Leslie, it'll be a wasted life. Because the only good thing about David Leslie is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he does in our life. That's the same true for all of us. We so often get so caught up in this thing right here. This thing right here. We let this control us. And we put, there's been a lot of junk go through here. Some of it when in our youth. Some of it after we got older. Bad decisions we've made. Sometimes we've listened to the wrong people, made bad decisions. Sometimes, you know, we just doing what Jesus said here, just seeking to save our life, just doing what we want instead of listening to the Holy Spirit of God and doing what He tells us to. All right, with that in mind, He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, it's more needful you, I stay here in the flesh. And there, of course, he's talking about, you know, it would be better for me to go on to heaven, be better for me personally. But he comes back and said, it's more needful for you. So, there, for him to stay, is gain again. Why? Because of his labor. Seeking, getting a full reward. Getting everything that God wants him to have. Hey, look, if you're saved. I mean, if you want to go to heaven today, you can go to heaven today. If you want to, if you really want to. You can go home. You know, get you some poison and take it. You'll be out of here. Put a gun under your chin, pull the trigger. You'll be out of here. I mean, we do believe if you're saved, you what? You're saved. And we can take the coward's way out. And boy, sometimes I'd like to go to sleep and not wake up. But the Lord says we're to stay here and to occupy till He comes. So we don't do what we want. We die to ourselves. And he says right here, it's more needful for you that I stay. And he'd been up there. I wonder if he whispered and said, it'd be okay if I just stay here, Lord? Be okay. I mean, I believe he was there. I believe he was there and saw all the glories of heaven. He said, it wasn't even lawful to write it down. He said, I can't even write it down. Not lawful for a man to tell you right now. It's hidden. And it said, boy, he saw the glories of it. He said, whether in the body or out of body, he said, I don't know. All I know is it's a wonderful place. I doubt if he wanted to come back. But it was more needful for us, you see. Not just these people here, but for us as well. Because, you see, what He has passed on to us through the Scriptures. Now, look at this again in 25. Verse 25. It says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of and joy of faith. And we talked about about the joy that comes from faith, from the Word of God, being obedient to it. And the only way it becomes joyful to us is when we're obedient to it. How many times we know, I mean, we sing that song, and it was my favorite song probably after I got saved. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Mark her down, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Because if you're being disobedient, the Spirit of God in you is not happy. He's going to be grieved. And buddy, you get hanging around with a person that's all down in the mouth and sad and grieved, guess what you're going to be? All down in the mouth, sad and grieved, huh? How many of you have been around somebody like that? Boy, you're trying to bring them up. And boy, the more you're around, the more down they pull you. Finally, sometimes you say, I just got to get away from him for a while. I mean, you don't give up on them, but you say, that's all I can take on this go around. I got to go. Got to get away from it. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And there's no way to have joy of faith other than obedience to the faith that God gives us, which is found in the Word of God. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So it's our obedience to the Word that brings joy in our hearts. No obedience, no joy. And then notice this, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me, by my coming to you again. Amen. See what he's saying there? He says, more needful to you I stay. Why? He says, because I'm going to come and I'm going to give you some stuff. It's going to give you more rejoicing. I got some things. I got some news to tell you. I got some good news. I got some Word of God that God has given me, and I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to record it, and you're going to be able to read it over and over and over again, that you may have more rejoicing. What if the only news we got was Jesus Christ died for our sins? Huh? Shoo, man, what a miserable life it would be, huh? Think about it. What if that was the only part of the gospel we got? Well, we know that he had died for our sins, and we didn't have to die for them, but what happens after that? Who would know?
Yeah.
Huh? But we know that he not only died, but on the third day, and this is what everybody gets happy about, isn't it? He rose from the dead.
Amen.
Huh? And us knowing that produces that joy of faith. And Paul said, I got some things to give you that you're rejoicing. He says that you may be rejoicing. And that's what he wants us to be, is rejoice. That's what God wants us to be. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I went for about 3 years in my life where I was, man, I was mully grubbing. I mean, 3 years. That's a long time. I mean, I just wasn't. I mean, I'd read the Bible and I'd study. I did everything I was supposed to do. I'd be at church every service. I tithe and tried to give above the tithe, and I tried to work and serve, you know, wherever that was at, in a bus route, in a Sunday school class. Out on Thursday night visitation over at the prison camp, and it didn't, you know one thing? It didn't do a thing. I was down. I was flat out. And I remember praying about it. I said, God, please help me. I said, I'm not happy. And the Spirit of God came back with a scripture. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I said, what? I said, you don't understand. I can't rejoice. I don't have no joy. I'm not happy. And he came back again, that same verse. Just bam, hit me in the head, boy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I said, I'm still being stubborn, right? I'm still saying, what are you talking about? How am I supposed to rejoice when I have no joy? And I don't have no happiness. I'm not happy. He came back at me again. He said, I didn't tell you to be happy. And I didn't tell you to have joy. I gave you a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I busted out laughing. I said, I'm an idiot. I said, I'm not obedient. He told me to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not rejoicing in my circumstances. I wasn't rejoicing that I was happy. I went back and thought about the fact I'm in the Lord. I'm saved. He died for me. He conquered death and hell and the grave. He rose again from the dead. And he's given all things unto me. And I can't find nothing to rejoice about. What is my problem?
Amen.
The joy of the faith, you see. I wasn't taking it in. I wasn't getting it. The devil had me feet down and had me thinking about all my situation and problems, and I forgot.
Yes, sir. Happenings.
When's the last time we just got back and did what that verse said?
Yeah.
Huh? When's the last time? I mean, we just got back and did what that verse said. Come into a service and say, I come to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Huh? Give Him praise and thanksgiving and just rejoice in the Lord and all that He's done for me. Comes in obedience to that joy of faith. Notice this. He says, it's amazing. He talks about all this joy, and he comes right down there at the bottom of the verse. It says, for in you it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Look over at Philippians chapter 4, verses 13. Now, everybody loves this verse. Nobody, I've never heard anybody say, praise God, my life verse is, for it is given unto you, not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. I've never heard anybody, you know, get in there and say, that's my life verse. That's what I choose. That's what I want. I've never heard nobody come down to a graduation service and say, boy, I just want to praise God for that verse. That's going to be my life verse. I'm not only going to believe on Him, but I'm going to be willing to suffer for His sake. I ain't never heard nobody grab hold of that one and say, that's the one I want. Huh? No, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But look up above it. Look in verses 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you're also careful but lacked opportunity. Care. He was suffering. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know how both to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Then he says, I can do all things through Christ. What's he saying? I can suffer. I can take what God has got for me. I can do it through the power of the Spirit of God. I can do it through Christ and through Christ alone. It's the only way. Hey, look back a chapter. Look at his prayer. In 3 verses 9. Let's back up to 8. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but what? Dung. That I may win Christ. That's what Jesus said, was it not? Ain't it what He said? He that seeks to save his life shall lose it. Hey, let me tell you something. We ain't taking nothing out of this world like I brought up last week. Man, that old black man said he left it all. And buddy, you try to seek and save what you've got down here and you're going to wind up in heaven with great loss. Store up for yourself things, you know, treasures in heaven where, you know, moth or rust, you know, they can't get to it, you know, and where thieves can't break through and steal. I mean, that's what we're to do. And the Lord is instructing us here. And Paul said, I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him. And look at this. Boy, and it's hard to make all of us have a running conniption because we fail all the time. And if you examine yourself by this book, you know what you find? You're the dung. I'm the dung. I ain't nothing but dirt and dung. That's all I am. The Bible said I wasn't nothing but a dog and a hog. Amen?
Yeah.
That's all I am apart from Christ. Motivated dust ball. I mean, that's all I am. Without Him, It says, and to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith, not my faith, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not our faith, by the faith of the Son of God. You ain't got no faith anyway. Talk about our faith. Only faith we have is a gift that was given to us. Because faith is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Yeah. And this is spirit. This is spirit. It's not spiritual. The words that I have given to you, they are spirit. It's the same as the Holy Spirit of God. There's no difference. And the Holy Spirit takes these words and does a work in us. And he don't do anything apart from what's written in this book already. And when we refuse to listen to this book, guess who you're not listening to? The Spirit of God. You're not listening to the Spirit of God. You're not listening to the Son of God. And you're certainly not listening to God the Father, who gave us all these things to be richly enjoyed. It's gifts. All gifts. It's all gifts. The Bible is a gift. Jesus Christ is a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's all gifts. Boy, He's loaded us up. And we can't find nothing to rejoice about?
Amen.
Huh? What we gonna do? Tell God what great things we've done for Him? Man, I fall down prostrate and say, God, I'm such a sorry mess. Thank you. I kind of like these signs I'm starting to see popping up everywhere. I don't know what everybody's thanking God for, but we need to be thanking God. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Bible said, giving thanks for all men. Hey, because this is the will of God concerning you too. Huh? I didn't say that word, being thankful for all men. You know, a bunch of people down the road here that are not thankful. You going to be thankful for them? Huh? We've got a bunch of people in Washington, they're not thankful for what God does for us. You going to be thankful for them? Won't you give thanks on earth? Yeah, in their stead. You know what I'm saying? Make an intercession is. You stand between them and God, giving thanks for them, trying to give them a little more time for what?
Repentance.
Huh? Do what, brother?
Repentance.
That's right. Trying to give them a little more time. We're trying to stand in there, be enough salt to make a difference to keep God's wrath from falling on a wicked and perverse nation. Paul says, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Not until His death, being made conformable unto His death. In other words, He's saying, give me the same death as Jesus. Let me learn to die like Jesus did. Well, what does that mean? Look over here again in Philippians chapter 2. Again in verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, then he says, fulfill you my joy. Now that goes back to that joy. Amen. That goes back to that fulfill. What's his joy? His joy of what? Faith. His joy of faith. Faith is what produces joy. So he says, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. My joy of faith. That's what he's been talking about over and over again, is the faith that joy produces in the life of a believer. Over and over again, he's bringing us to that conclusion. The only way we're going to have that joy, and the joy of the Lord is by what? Strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
And it's that joy that's produced by the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. And he says right here, "Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Now the only way we can be like-minded, there's only one way. Because, man, some of us are as different as light and dark. Some of us is as different. I mean, you know, we just, it's oil and vinegar. We just won't mix. There's only one thing that can give us the same mind. And that's Christ. Because he says right here, "Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife, or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." That means I look over here, and boy, I don't have no problem doing this. I really don't. I look at me, and I feel like, man, I'm a sorriest rascal. Apostle Paul's wrong. He was not chief sinners. I'm chief of sinners. And I look out here, and that means that I esteem Brother Ernie. I esteem Brother Size, Brother Hildebrands, both Brother Hildebrands. And I put their needs in front of mine. And I esteem them better. I try to look at it, you know, hey, I desire to feel that I can look out from when I'm looking at the choir and I look down at the people that are, and I desire to look out there, the Lord God. These people, I'm not even worthy to be in their presence. These are the saints of God. Lord, make me worthy to be in their presence. I don't want to look out through there and say, "Boy, that sister ain't dressed right. Oh man, I heard that brother talking the other day, and he was going off on stuff he shouldn't have been doing, saying, I can't believe, boy, our church is such a mess." That's what a lot of people are doing, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because he said, "All lowliness of mind, and lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves. And look not man on it, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Don't quit worrying about what you're going to get out of. He just told us right here, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It's sad. And we all will have to fight this till the day we're dead. And it's sad. But there's a lot of people who just want to be recognized. They don't want to be a servant. They don't want to be a servant. They don't want to be humbled. They don't want to be out of it. They want to be lifted up. I'm somebody. We are in Christ. But let God lift you up. God said the mind that we got to get a hold of if we're going to see the blessings in our life and joy of faith is we've got to get this out of our minds that we are somebody, that we're out here vainglorying, you know, man, that stuff, boy. And it's good to keep a record. You're on visitation. You have people make professions. It's good to keep a record of that. But how many people just can't wait to get back? I saved five this week. You laugh. That's exactly what they mean. I saved five this week. Amen. You didn't save nobody. I don't know, but Paul said that I may save some too. Paul said that in his own mouth, did he not? I become all things to all men that I might save some. Well, he knew he couldn't save their soul. He knew that was done by Jesus Christ. He made that plain in his doctrine, so you got to understand what he's talking about. He died to himself, and they looking at him and saying, he's real. I can trust what this man's saying. Amen. That they might believe his words. And that his words they'll take heed to. And he's raised up Christ, and they're looking to Christ. Now Christ is, he's telling about how Christ has saved them if they'll just receive him. And I've seen some mess over the years, discouraging stuff. People go out. What's your name, sir? I didn't invite you to our church. Man, get this bunch of names. Everybody said, I had sin, make you say.
Yes, sir, I've seen that happen.
Yeah, you've seen that happen.
Yes, sir.
People do that kind of mess. Why? What did that do? Well, praise God, if they give them a tract, at least they got some word of God. It won't return void. I thank God for that. But what did that do for them? It was just Bangor. It was. They lost what reward they had for just giving them a try. And that's what a lot of people are in it for. A lot of preachers. A lot of preachers lose their way. They might start off the right reason. People start lifting them up, bragging on them, beating them on the back. And next thing you know, they lose their way. They get caught up in the vainglory. Next thing you know, man, you got to have a DDD. Attached to your name. Let me ask you one question. All these people that want to be doctors. How many doctors we see in the Bible is worth 2 cents? Where are we seeing anywhere in the Bible that a doctor was a gift from God? We know evangelists are a gift. We know pastors are a gift. We know the deacons are a gift. Amen? Right? We know the saints are a gift. Every person that knows the Lord and faithful, they're all gifts. Gifts to the church. How many DDs you seen? A lot of that ain't but one thing. Backslapping, vainglory. Frightful thing. A lot of colleges have gotten to that over the years. That's their way of honoring people. You know, I don't know. I look at things crazy. I know when the Bible says giving the man of God double honor, we ought to give him double honor, but I don't believe it's what a lot of people thinks that is. Every person in this room deserves my honor. I ought to honor you as a saint and a believer in Christ. And if you hold an office in the church, I'm not honoring you. I'm honoring the office that God has given. That's the only way he gets double honor. That doesn't mean he's twice the Christian. There's a lot of preachers that, they're saved, and this is where they're at. They've sat down on the job. And they're saying this. It's about done. Oh, God, just get me through this. I got about 4 more years, and I think I'm going to take my retirement and go down to the coast and wait for Jesus to come. A lot of them like that.
Go to Florida, you'll find piles of
them. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm still going to give that man honor. He's a believer. And I'll give his office honor. But that doesn't mean he's twice the Christian. You know what? Praise God, I think I got a good pastor. But if he wasn't a good pastor, that doesn't mean I can't be a good Christian. And if he ain't growing in grace and knowledge of, doesn't mean I can't be. That's just an excuse for a lot of people. Huh? That's just an excuse for a lot of people. But it says right here, hey man, let this mind be in you, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, Lord, if you're full of this vainglory, and you considering yourself, and you got that, man, I've been around them. Man, they you can tell they looking at you like, well, you just ain't quite right, and nobody else is either. Nobody but their crowd, ones that their clique, their buddies, their friends. Ones that they got their little group, and buddy, we're a bunch of righteous vipers, and buddy, we're standing in judgment of the world. We got that right. Next thing you know, you'll be out here invading, being doing like that crowd, going out there and invading them funerals and stuff, and cutting up a ruckus, and preaching at the crowd, and doing like I've seen, known they've done down here on the campuses down here in Charlotte. Get up there and tell them all how they're all going to hell. And it's just like that old story Ed Blue told years ago. The old fella said, boy, he just got out of a revival meeting and come pouring into what's them old timey stores where they had everything? You know, an old country store anyway. Come in there. He said, I tell you what, I said, I'd like to have that shotgun right here. And I said, I'd like to have a box of a double-aught bucks for that 12-gauge. He said, boy, what you going to do with that gun? I said, I'm going up there and I'm going to kill me that preacher. He said, why? He said, you told me I was going to hell. About a month later, same fella comes walking into the store. He says, I want that cake over here. And give me them hand warmers over there and the gloves and let me have this. He said, what you going to do with this stuff? I'm giving that preacher up there. He said, why? He told me I was going to hell. I said, you're crazy. He said, you going to kill a man about 2 months ago because he told you he was going to hell. Now you're going to buy all these gifts, going to tell this man that he told you he was going to hell? He said, that first one told me like he just couldn't wait for me to get there. And that second one was telling me, said, please don't go.
Yeah. Amen.
There's some people out there, man, they just love to look down their nose and shoot gun barrel straight and tell you, you deserve hell and I can't wait for you to go. Being in the form of God, thought him not robbery to be equal God, made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Jesus wouldn't have got along real good with that crowd. You think about it. He's over here helping harvest himself out of the dirt. Huh? Says, I don't accuse you. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He had some of the worst sinners following him. And a lot of them was getting in that inner circle. People he rubbed shoulders with. He worked with. He loved. They loved him. Who's going to love? He said, who loves the most? He was forgiven the most. You're going to have to die to do that. You have people cheat you, do you wrong. Do you love them? Huh? You got a chip on your shoulder. You're going to have to die. You're going to have to let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who hanging there. Boy, when old Lucifer come in the garden, kissed him on the cheek, wherefore art thou come, friend? Boy, he can look right at the devil right in the eyes and say, you still my friend. I still love you. God loves us with everlasting love. I'm telling you, buddy, when they done beat him and spit on him and plucked his beard out and he got him nailed up on the cross, the Father forgive him. They know not what they do. That's suffering like Jesus. That's letting that same mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Being found in fashion man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth. And I'm going to ask us, what are we going to do today? Are we going to do what that verse just said? Are we going to bow? Are we going to bow? We're going to humble ourselves to what we just seen in the Word of God? Are we going to bow and become obedient? We're going to leave out of here. I hope we do. I hope we go in church service a little bit and get thinking about all things God's done for us and just shout the victory. Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord. Be thankful in our hearts. Because God's been good to us. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what He's commanded us to do. Yes, sir. Brother Rick Hillbrand, you close out for us, please.